Good morning, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I made Mike Trope laugh, so my day is complete as far as I'm concerned. We thank the mayor for coming in. Once a month, he comes in and faces the firing line that is Mary Griffith. Last week, or this week at the city council, Mr. Trope could not restore order in time to get the meeting started, so I had to act as sergeant at arms.
You did a great job, too, Mary. I appreciate that.
Mike goes, is my microphone on? Why is nobody listening? Why is everybody talking? I said, Mr. Mayor, they don't know the meeting started. You're just
I need
too
to get
nice.
The gavel out.
Yeah, you do. You need to get a gavel. Bud Niekamp's got an old hammer he can give you. Okay. You know, that little inside joke from many years ago. Scott Hardy, who can't be bothered to go to city council meetings anymore. I have to do it now, but I'm not bitter. Scott Hardy asked me to ask you right off the bat, where does the city of Quincy stand on this ARPA money? This was this COVID-19 money that was supposed to be distributed from the federal government down to local governments so that they could do, you know, kind of big projects that would change the trajectory of cities and towns. And we hear a lot still about ARPA money being spent. Surely the deadline is approaching that you have to have all of it spent, and tell us about that, Mr. Mayor.
We have it all committed, and the last big expenditure was purchasing of two new fire trucks. That was the last $1 million that the city used of the ARPA money to fund that, because that's going to be those trucks, when we get them, they're going to be around for at least 20 years. So we thought something that's, you know, like a one-time shot. We didn't have enough money budgeted over the last few years to replace one of those vehicles. With this, we said, this is a good time to update the fleet. And so we made the commitment to buy two new fire trucks.
Well, that brings up two questions. Yay, we definitely need great equipment for our fire department. But I guess the B part of that question is, how can you not have money budgeted? Because doesn't the Illinois Veterans Home pay the city of Quincy a stipend every year?
Yeah, very small.
Oh, it is. I thought it was enough after 10 years to buy a new truck.
Well, maybe it was 30 years ago.
Okay.
but these trucks are extremely expensive. As a matter of fact, the ones that we just bought or made a commitment to buy last year, that was before a price increase. So that was driving a lot of these things.
I remember it was kind of I think I was at that meeting that night. It was kind of not an emergency, but it was like a special thing. And the fire chief got up and basically said, look, you know, I understand we have to go through channels when we make a major expenditure with the city, but I need the aldermen to make this decision tonight, because if we don't tell them we're taking this, it's going to cost us like $100,000 or maybe even more dollars a month from now.
Right. So, and the delivery time would be even further out.
Yeah, it's ironic that everybody needed more equipment at a time when everybody was shut down and wasn't making equipment. So all of the ARPA money has been accounted for.
Yeah.
Okay. Something also happened with the police department. What did they get out of it?
Well, the police, they've for years have been purchasing replacement vehicles somewhere between 3 to 4 a year. So we're able to keep their fleet more current. And that's just part of their annual budgeting process that they go through.
Okay. So I think it's one thing that's very interesting. And as I said, because of some changes here at WTAD, I have been covering the Quincy City Council, and it is fascinating because you do learn a lot, especially when you go to the committee meetings, the finance committee meeting, the traffic committee meeting, the water committee meeting, the aeronautics committee meeting. All of these different facets of running our city are a lot more complex than most people understand. And that's okay. That's why we hire a mayor and a city council to run the place for us. But there's a lot that goes into budgeting, because so much of your stock, like your equipment, your police cars, your fire trucks, when you have to replace this is why the garbage debate has been going on for years. Every time we need a new garbage truck, somebody says we ought to get out of the garbage business.
Sure.
And then somebody says, well, if we get out of the garbage business, then our citizens will be held hostage by a for-profit company. So, but you can see why, when you have to, if you're not planning every year to put a little bit aside, How hard is it to put money aside like that? Because when I'm paying my taxes, I kind of want that money. I mean, I understand the need to put money aside for a new garbage truck, right. But I also want that pothole fixed in front of my house now.
Yep.
And those two interests compete with
conflict.
Each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've established a fund to make sure that over the life expectancy of your equipment, we're building money back into that. So we don't, you know, when we need to buy 10 more vehicles, we've got the money within that account to go ahead and make that purchase. So you put a little money in each year. You don't have to come up with $500,000, in the next budget cycle to pay for that, which will use resources away from other things that may be coming up. So, we've done that. Sherry Ray, our controller, has worked with the Finance Committee extensively this last year in getting that set up and monitoring. So I think it's the best we've ever had.
Well, the other thing that I think the average person may have struggles with, it's like, you know, I know, you know, we have an emergency fund at our house, at our personal household, and, you know, so you need new tires for your truck or your water heater goes out. You have hopefully a little bit of money in reserve. The city of Quincy just passed an up to $21 million bond issue. And now this money will go into this reserve pool and it will be meted out over time because you can't do $21 million worth of repairs in 1 year. You couldn't even find a contractor probably locally to do that.
Correct.
So that again is something that it's hard sometimes for people to understand. The projects are being done and they're being done in a priority that maybe you don't like because it's not your household or your street that's getting fixed first, but help is on the way and yep. The wheel's always turning, right?
Yeah. The big push for this most recent bond package is our water and sewers. And we know just along Broadway, there's going to be an extensive amount of money required to move the water lines from basically the middle of the Broadway streets off to one of the sidewalks. And, you know, those that grew up in Quincy know that, okay, Broadway started off as a two-lane road with some parking. And over time, you know, it became a four-lane road with a middle lane turn, lane.
It's a five-lane road.
Correct. And so, but throughout those processes, we never moved the water lines. And you can see every now and then we have a water leak. We have to close down, you know, half the traffic to
30th and Broadway being a very good example of that, recently.
24th and Broadway, not too long ago, the same kind of a situation. So we're doing that. I mean, we're spending a lot of money on infrastructure again, you know, about $10 million going into the water treatment plant. That is the first significant upgrade infrastructure-wise since 1957. So nobody questions it's about time. We're lucky that we've got the use as long as we have, you know, out of that facility.
Well, and there's the other thing that's always problematic. I turn on my water every day and I don't think too much about it. I don't get down and say, oh, I want to write a letter to my alderman today thanking them for voting for, you know, fresh water for the city of Quincy. We take it for granted until it's not there. And all we have to hear is a story like Flint, Michigan, or some town down in Louisiana where they haven't had drinking water for 3 years.
Oh, it's horrible.
I mean, you can get into a mess really quickly if you allow things to stagnate and deteriorate.
Right.
And it's always the squeaky wheel that you're afraid is going to get the grease. And that's good in a sense, but it also, you have to always be budgeting for these long-term projects. So it's not quite that easy.
Right,
and some people would like to come and complain, why don't you just do this? Maybe
sure.
I was one of them many days, but it's a big process. And the trouble is we elect our mayor and we elect our alderman, but these projects that you're talking about are going to, Mike Trope may not even be alive. I hope you are, but you may not even be alive when this last water main is fixed,
oh, yeah.
You know.
I mean, in 2024, and it's going to be in 2025, when you're replacing water mains that were installed in the 1870s, 1880s, and 1890s, we're lucky. Now, it's what I found out in the last month, when we go to replace those lines, I ask, what do you do with those pipes? And they say, when we dig down, they basically crumble. So we just leave it there and put the new pipe in and go from there. There's very little to retrieve. And, you know, our water treatment plant, you know, we take the water from the river, go through the process, put the chemicals in, and run it out to the residents, the commercial operators, the industry, for all of their daily use, including people that like to sprinkle their yards. And on top of that, of the water that we produce, we're still losing millions of gallons. Okay, so part of that is through these old water mains, there's a constant leaking. Every now and then you see a sinkhole develop under a street. Well, there's a pretty good probability that that came from, you know, a decade of water leaking underneath those pavements, et cetera. Every now and then you see one that's, you know, comes up like a fountain. So that's easy to find. But these other ones have been a little bit harder to find. So yeah. It's a constant work that we go through.
Out of sight, out of mind. I just got back from San Jose, California. I spent 3 weeks out there, and I was joking with Brad Burkhart from Quincy Appliance this morning. I said, I use deep fill on my Speed Queen and extra rinse. And as long as my husband and I can afford the cheap water, I know it's gone up a lot, but it's still pretty cheap. As long as I can afford my water bill, I'm a deep fill, extra rinse kind of gal. Trust me, out in California, I think you're allowed 3 tablespoons of water for a load of laundry. You know, it's ridiculous. The clothes hardly, I don't even think they get wet hardly. I watch, I was like, there's no water in the machine. I mean, you know, it's, but get my clothes to get clean. But it's just kind of interesting. When you are in a water shortage situation, you think about that. When you're here, we never think about running out of water.
Yep.
Next topic, and then I want you to get to some topics you want to talk about. But, oh, my gosh. We've got a problem now, and I don't know if it really will be a problem, if Illinois Department of Transportation will arbitrate or if we'll go to court or if one side will just back down. But Adams County Board is pretty fed up with the city of Quincy, can't make up their mind what they want to do at 48th and State. The alderman voted it's not a high priority, so we're just going to put it off. Adams County says, okay, that's your choice, but we're getting rid of it because now it's all surrounded by the city and it should be your road. Well, unintended consequences. Went to the finance committee a couple of weeks ago. Alderman Mike Ryan said, who says we have to do it? You can't make me vote yes for this. The Adams County Board can't force the city council to do something. So you were supposed to have a meeting and maybe be a little mediator there, Mr. Mayor Mike Trope. What happened? Have you had the meeting and what's the coming out of it?
Well, there's ongoing discussions. The county took the vote of the city council, okay, fine, they don't, and we shared the information with the city council that the county's position, if you don't want to go ahead and make this improvement now, their plans were to go through this 1970s agreement that was between the county and the city at that time. Mayor Nicholson was the mayor at that time. And that all went through the legal channels, the proper approval at both the Adams County Board as well as the City of Quincy Alderman City Council action. And we presented that. The Finance Committee didn't know if that was legal. That was where Alderman Ryan was raising the question. So there are several questions. They wanted to see the minutes of the committee meeting and the minutes of the Adams County Board that actually approved the jurisdictional transfer of that intersection property to the city. I've received that this last week, shared that with the Finance Committee. We're still, there's a couple other questions too.
Like what condition the road is in now, because it's supposed to be transferred in good condition or something like that. Well, what does that mean? What is the definition?
The other side, Alderman Ryan said, okay, we should have the county transfer, I believe it was $2.6 million, which was their share with the jurisdictional transfer, so we could keep that in an escrow to make the improvements whenever the city decides it's a priority. And so I've asked that question to County Chairman Snyder.
And his reaction was?
Well, he's got to review that with the proper committee and have the discussion. So Kent and I have a good relationship. You know, I'm in an awkward situation because I was in favor of it. We had the city budget to make the improvements. I thought Quincy is in a great situation under this proposal. Half this intersection improvement will be paid by the county, the other half by the city. We're going to have a new intersection that we won't have to worry about making improvements to for another 15 to 20 years. I thought that was good because there's a lot of growth in that area. Anyway, the alderman of the two wards, you know, affecting that intersection didn't support it. They have other priorities. So, and that's the alderman's call. So, you know, I don't think anybody's doing anything wrong, but sometimes your priorities need to change based on the opportunities of available dollars.
Now, it's going to be interesting because, again, just because it's an old document, I mean, my family used to lease part of the riverfront from the city of Quincy, and we had a 99-year lease for a dollar. Now, I'm sure there were days when somebody said, who's the idiot that signed that? We'd like to revisit that. But yeah, we saw, you know, it was legally binding because,
sure,
yes, in some sense, one city council can't bind a future city council in some respects, but right, if you sign a contract,
yeah,
then, you know, it doesn't matter if it was signed under Mayor Don Nicholson or not. You've,
yeah,
got to enforce,
absolutely,
it. Yeah.
Yeah. And okay, so the other question is how much of the neighboring property is really within the city, you know, jurisdiction now. We're taking a look at that. That's something that we can get answered within the city staff. And so I'm waiting for that report back, but we'll get that worked out. You know, I know, you know, there's a couple of people on either side that are pretty adamant as to what should happen. And again, you know, there's very few days throughout the year that the city is not working with the county on a couple projects at a time. And so this is just one of those situations we've got to work out, and we will.
Okay. What else is on your agenda today?
You know, this weather has been phenomenal. I think people enjoy the break of the heat, especially in August.
Yeah.
So we've been really lucky with that. We've got a lot of road construction. Most of them are running slightly ahead of schedule. We've got some good pricing. We had several big bids open up, one on 30th Street from basically Main to Chestnut. That came in also under our engineering budget. The council's approved that. We believe that the piece from basically Main up to Broadway could be done this fall still. The north of Broadway to Chestnut, there's a little bit more water pipe work and curb work that will need to be done there. That I don't see will start until the spring. But that would be another good stretch of road being redone. 12th Street's moving along. They're putting, you know, the concrete curbs in between State and Jefferson. That project's moving nicely. 6th Street, just down the street here, they poured the other half of the street from Main to Hampshire yesterday. And, you know, those people that haven't been to the downtown or through this district recently, just come on down and look at that. I think you'll be impressed with.
Yeah, Blues in the District this Friday night. Just take an extra minute and walk by there.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, you said the weather was great. I was going to ask you if that was something that the weather would always be cloudy and rainy if Linda Moore or Dan Brink was mayor, but I won't put you on that spot. What is your reaction to an independent candidate and a woman running for the mayor of Quincy?
I look forward to the debates. I think in all elections, when voters have a choice, I think that's a good thing. okay? And I am comfortable with what I've been able to get accomplished with the council in the last 3.5 years. I think we've moved Quincy forward. We've done a lot of good things infrastructure-wise. Has everything been smooth? No. Do we still have potholes? Yes. But we've improved more streets, sidewalks, curbs in the last 3.5 years, with a lot more being done still this year than any administration before me. So did we get all the streets done? No, we don't. There's over 200 miles of streets. There's 300 miles of water and sewer. We're trying to make up for years where people just did the surface level and didn't worry about what's underneath the ground. And we've gone too far.
So some people have even said to me, well, Trope's dropping out. It'll be a Brink Moore race, that you're dropping out of the Republican primary. Any truth to that?
Absolutely not. I don't know why or, you know, who would say something like that that's talked to me.
Okay. Just wanted to get that cleared up. Mr. Mayor, always great when you stop by. We do know here and understand here at the Mary Griffith Show that now we have multiple announced candidates. And so the reason I have Mike Trope on is not so he can run for mayor again, but because he is our mayor and he is the mayor now, and he's the one we need to ask these questions to. We will have Linda Moore and Dan Brink on in the future. In fact, I'm trying to set those things up now. So don't worry. We are going to get all points of view out before you have to make a decision about who the next mayor of Quincy will be. But thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I will see you next Monday night, whether I want to or not, at that city council meeting.
And Mary, the city council meeting will be back in the city hall chambers this Monday.
I really liked it better when it was at the library. So, did you know what happened to me? I have to tell this real quick. You know, I'm a notorious bad driver. I mean, I think that's pretty well publicly documented. I parked in front of one of those big concrete stanchions that hold the light pole. And it's not my fault, Mr. Mayor. A really good-looking guy was leaving the library and I didn't notice him in the crowd. So I was looking, going, who is this extraordinarily handsome young man walking by? And instead of putting my car in reverse, I put it in drive and ran. It was only about a foot maybe of acceleration room. But, yeah, the front of my car is kind of halfway destroyed. So the good news is my new car is now dinged. I don't have to be careful with it anymore. The bad news is my husband just said, how do you do these things? And I said, honey, I don't know. Yeah. So he's got his little buffer.
All on plan.
Yeah, he's got his little buffer machine out. He's trying to make it good. So you'll just go to say that I guess I should be glad it's back at City Hall. There's a lot of unobstructed items.
I don't know. There's a lot of construction equipment out there right now.
I would tell Moss Construction to put everything, move it, because if I park near it, Jerry Moss is going to be complaining that somebody ran over, somebody dented my bulldozer. Say, you should see what her car looks like. Mr. Mayor, thank you so very much. Always great when you stop by. It is 9:42. We're heading up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Rex Battery brings you this report. Don O'Brien is here, and we are not going to discuss politics. Thank the good Lord. Don O'Brien is with the Better Business Bureau, and I am so sick and tired of people knocking on my door.
Oh, my.
And wanting to sell me aluminum siding or whatever it is that they've got in mind, or they've got an extra half a truckload of asphalt, and they noticed a crack in my driveway. Don O'Brien, how can we protect ourselves against the scammers and the non-scammers? Because the other day, a delightful little girl came to the door selling Boy Scout popcorn.
Yes.
And I said, please.
Yes.
Give me
Take
some.
My money.
Take my money and give me some. Even though you're a little girl and you're selling Scout popcorn now, I trust that you are a...
Those are the kind of solicitors we like to see. Yeah. The cute little girl that's selling
the
popcorn.
At the carnival, that if you're not this tall, you can't ride this ride. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put something out on my front porch that says, if you are taller than this, you cannot knock on this door. I'm not interested in anything you're selling. If it's a candy bar or popcorn or Girl Scout cookies, Bring it on.
So can I tell you a funny story to start us off with? I had a solicitor come to my residence yesterday. And this person was trying
Did you open it with your BBB shirt on?
Oh, my BBB car was in the driveway. And yes, I had a BBB shirt on. But this is a young man. I believe he was trying to sell magazines. So he looks at me. He goes, oh, you must be the father or the grandfather of the house. I'm in my early 50s. I may look like a grandfather, but I'm no grandfather. So if you're one of these solicitors going door to door, don't assume someone's a grandfather if you want to try to sell some magazines to them. But the first thing I did is I asked them for their City of Quincy permit. Because in the City of Quincy, City of Hannibal, you need to have a permit. A lot of the other areas around here, the rural areas, you have to have a permit in order to solicit. He did have that. But then I asked him not to be on my property. And I've gotten, I tell you what, if I had a dollar for all the calls that I've been getting recently about solicitors in the City of Quincy, I would have a lot of dollars because they're everywhere. And, you know, the first thing you need to do is ask them, again, do they have that solicitor's permit? There are some out there, like this gentleman did have it. I didn't want to listen to what he had to say because I wasn't interested, and he called me a grandfather. Nothing against grandfathers. I had one myself. I love my my grandparents, but I'm not one yet. So, but he had that solicitor's permit. And, you know, they're going to be trying to sell you everything. I had somebody ask about an asphalt person the other day, tree trimmer, magazine sales, solar sales are big right now. And you need to get information about who they are because sometimes they are not really forthcoming about who they work for or where they're located. You need that information because you need to be able to research them. Maybe listen to their spiel. First off, you're under no obligation to answer your door when they show up. Secondly, if you do answer the door, do not invite them into your house. Talk to them on the porch. You know, and
especially if there are two of them, because what can happen, and we just had Zach Bemis from Quincy Police say, what'll happen with older people is two people will come to your door, you'll invite them in, and while one of them is saying, I'm here because you've got water leakage, my buddy's going to go and fix your problem in your bathroom, he's not going to fix your plumbing, he's going to ransack your bedroom jewelry case.
Yep.
So, yeah, don't ever let anybody in your house. Don't be under any obligation to do that.
So, again, I know we've talked about this before recently. A couple months ago, we talked specifically about door-to-door sales. But because I've gotten such a high volume of calls recently about this, you know, I'm going to guess that probably 30% of my calls right now are about door-to-door solicitations here in Quincy or in the area. So, again, we just want you to know that you've got things to protect you. That solicitor's permit is one. If you want to know if they claim that they have one and they don't show it, you can call the City of Quincy's City Clerk's office. Ask them, say, hey, this business, XYZ, whatever they are, said they came to my house and said they have a permit, but they didn't show it to me. Are they really permitted? And they can tell you whether or not they're permitted. So,
and you can narc them out because your neighbors don't want to be bothered by this either. So you're being
that's
good
one thing.
Citizen.
This young man said yesterday, oh, can you tell me a little bit about your neighbors? And I don't want to bother anybody who might be too old or, you know, shut in. I'm like,
I don't want to bother another old person like you, Don O'Brien.
Correct.
Who I probably awakened from a mid-afternoon nap, Grandpa.
Yes.
Yeah, this poor guy.
So, you know, one thing, though, and I've helped a couple of people. If you do sign something and you have buyer's remorse, you have 3 business days. The Federal Trade Commission has a rule called the cooling off period that I'm not talking about your Girl Scout cookies or your, you know, the popcorn. No. But if somebody comes and sells you something on your property valued at $25 or more. So it's all these things, all those solicitors that I talked about earlier. You have 3 business days to rescind that contract. Now, sometimes the business may have you a longer period. They may give you 2 weeks. I talked to a gentleman the other day who believed he had 15 days to back out of a solar deal. So it's simple. All you have to do is send a letter to the business. I would send it registered or certified mail and say, hey, I want out of this. You don't have to go into it. I would not call the business because what they're going to do is they're going to try to resell you while they have you on the phone. So, again, I just want to get off my soapbox a little bit this morning about those solicitors because they seem to be so prevalent right now in Quincy. I mean, I've never seen it I don't know that I've ever seen it this bad before. I mean, it's an onslaught of people going door to door trying to sell things.
A little aside, Don knows what I'm talking about. It's an insider joke, but do I have 11 months to rescind my decision? No.
You do not.
Thank you, Don.
No, you've got to do it. The buyer's remorse has to come quickly.
I'm either going to be satisfied or I'm going to make the biggest complaint the BBB has ever seen. One of these two things is going to happen.
We don't have a limit on how long the complaint can be. So okay. You can talk as you can file your complaint as big as you want if you need to do that.
What your appearance here really dovetails very well with the Tuesday appearance of Zach Bemis, our elder liaison, our senior our officer in the police department that investigates crime against seniors. But again, the Better Business Bureau, if you can get the title and name of the company, and that's what's critically important, you can always look it up on the Better Business Bureau. And even a young kid that's really trying to work his way through college selling magazine subscriptions deserves a chance to make a living, but you don't have to talk to him that day. You don't have to do anything until you fully check them out. And you know, it is tough because people are trying to make a living.
Yep.
But the longer they talk, the more likely you are to say yes. And we know this is true. And I don't care anybody out there saying, but I'm smart. I would never fall for that. I look in the mirror every morning lately and go, what were you thinking? And when will this nightmare be over? And until it is, I'm going to feel shame and embarrassment. And that I kind of got snookered into this. It may turn out okay.
You never know.
But so far, it's been not a great thing. So, and I don't want to go into it because if it turns out okay, it'll be fine. But, oh, my God. And when I told Don this
a couple 10
months ago.
Yes,
oh,
yes. It's been a while.
Yeah, it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
I said I did this. And you just looked at me like, God, I thought you were smart.
No,
you were very non-judgmental.
Thank you. Yes,
but
I try not to
judge. But look in your eyes. I couldn't. Your pupils dilated. Mm-hmm. And you can't help that natural reaction. So people, be careful about door-to-door salesmen.
Yes.
There are some legitimate ones, but there are some not legitimate ones. Be very, very cautious and never let anybody in your
house. So if you get that information, if you have somebody and you're interested in what they're doing, maybe you do have a tree that needs to be done. Ask them for their information. Ask them for their name. Ask them for all that information and look up that. Look them up online. Look them up on BBB. Call me. I can help you with that. We have so many people, seniors especially, who aren't connected to the internet. And they need to have help. I'm looking up business information for folks all the time. So I'm at 217-209-3972. Again, it's 217-209-3972. Call me, and I can look the information up. And then you can sell to that person, you know what, I think what you sound is good. I want to look you up. Can you come back tomorrow? And I can guarantee you they will come back tomorrow.
If they're legitimate.
If they're legitimate, yes. So that's just a way to kind of help protect yourself. We want people, Better Business Bureau, we have all this information for free at BBB.org. Our services for consumers are free, and we want you to make informed buying decisions. You work hard for your money. You have worked hard for your money. The last thing we want you to do is to spend that money with a business that might not be legitimate.
Okay, great. We've only got about 2 minutes left. What else is on your agenda today,
so
Mr. O'Brien?
My agenda is football season coming.
Scams.
Yes, sports, high school sports streaming scams are going to be back. A week from Friday, all the football teams in Missouri and Illinois and Iowa are going to be gone. They're going to be throwing the pigskin through the air and all that good stuff. And what you're going to see online is, hey, Quincy High and Notre Dame are playing tonight, and you can catch the game here. Some of those are legit. For the Quincy schools, it's easy this year. If you want to watch a stream, if you want to watch a stream of the game, Notre Dame has its own broadcast. Notre Dame has its own stream on its website. Quincy High School games are going to be covered by WGEM on their app and on their streaming app. So that's simple.
Two trusted sources.
Correct.
Only use those two.
Correct. And don't go to some, what'll happen is like Quincy High or Notre Dame, probably both will say, hey, football game tonight. Here's where you can watch. And then in the comments, the scammers hop in and they'll say, oh, watch the game here. And, if you do a search on YouTube, let's say, oh, maybe that game's on YouTube. You'll find scams on there, too, with things. And what happens here is you're going to go to that supposed live stream. They're going to ask you to input your information, name, number, debit or credit card, and they're going to ding you $7.95, let's say. and then you're just going to come to a dead end. There's not going to be any game for you. And instead, what you've done is you've given up your credit card or your debit card info. And what people have told us, we've had reports to our scam tracker, is that all of a sudden they get recurring charges. You know, more charges are made on that card. And, you know, it's just, it's unfortunate. This obviously sprung up through COVID. We had restrictions on things, but, you know, scammers go where the news is, and this is going to be in the news.
So you can watch it on our stream it on WGEM or at Quincy Notre Dame's page,
yep.
But don't go somewhere else. And be careful, folks. Just remember, it's your money, so use caution. Thank you, Don O'Brien with the Better Business Bureau.
Thank you.